Welcome, football fans, far and wide, to another edition of IDP Plus Injuries. I'm your host, Sebastian Fearon, a.k.a. the D-Gen Doc. And that is right, folks. We are back for another NFL off-season injury update, episode number 5. That's right. We have gone through the entire AFC conference, and now we're heading on to the NFC. And we're starting with the NFC South. Of course, before we do that, again, I am your host, Sebastian Fearon, physical therapist for the United States Army. There's a quick flash of my credentials. As I promised, I will not go into all the credentials every episode, really just the first episode. So if you have any interest in learning about, you know, what I do, you know, where my education is, yada, 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 all that stuff that you probably don't care about. Yeah, it's all in the intro episode. So like I said, we talked about the AFC West, the AFC North, the AFC South, and the AFC East, all four AFC divisions. And now we're heading over to the NFC. So this NFL injury update is exactly like it sounds. There are a number of major injuries that are going to impact the 2024 NFL season. A lot of big injuries that linger into the offseason that may or may not affect the 2024 season. Those are your questions, and I'm providing your answers. And the best way to do that is to go division by division, because there's about 8 or 9 to 10 guys in each division that have serious injury concerns, and they're big-time players, right? So that is kind of how this series is structured. But yeah, we're going into the NFC this week. But before we do that, let's talk a little intro. We just had the NFL draft. So big week for football. The NFL is that much closer, right? We find out which rookies are joining your favorite teams. Released the NFL draft best episode. Talked about some of those injury prospects, those rookie prospects, some injury concerns. We're talking about another one here a little bit later that just joined the conference. But yeah, hopefully your team got who you think they should. Let's be honest, they probably didn't. Again, the NFL draft is always so interesting, right? Because we were just talking about, really it comes down to what do a bunch of rich old dudes want to do with their team, right? What do they want to pick? I think the biggest surprise clearly was Michael Penix Jr. Being drafted to the Atlanta Falcons at 8. We're going to talk about some Falcons players. Specifically, we're going to talk about a guy, Kirk Cousins, who reportedly was not made aware of this decision until the Falcons were on the clock. Clearly, you know, that, let's talk about that for a second. Like, that's pretty disrespectful, right? You just signed this guy to a 4-year deal, 2 years guaranteed, $100 million, and you're not going to give him the courtesy to give him a heads up. No one else was going to take Michael Penix that early. So it's not like somebody fell and an opportunity just fell into their lap. They knew going into the draft that Michael Penix was going to be available. So the fact that they didn't let Kirk Cousins know, that really just puzzling. I mean, the whole decision is kind of a huge question mark, especially with him being a little bit of an older quarterback, which I didn't mind as a draft prospect. But now you're talking about him almost guaranteed to be sitting for at least 2 years. So I just don't really get this move. You know, Atlanta Falcons, just that organization has a lot of questions to answer. I think either way, you know, whether, you know, Penix comes in and starts somewhat early or he sits, like, it's just a weird decision. Why would you commit all this money and capital to Kirk Cousins if you're going to turn around and do this with Michael Penix? So kind of a very big head scratcher. My Giants got one of the best wide receivers in the league there coming out of college, and Malik Nabers cast that bet, excited for him to join the team. So a lot of good stuff from fans. Really love seeing Detroit, the fans in Detroit breaking that record. That looked electric. Just tells you everybody's ready for football. And that is exactly why we're talking about injuries today, because we do our prep now so we can go ahead and crush the sports books. We can crush our fantasy leagues and crush, whether it's your friends, family, people you don't know, whatever, or to just be a better fan and just talk football. If you just love football, you are in the right place, because that is exactly how I feel. Also, a good week in the UFL. Went 2-0 on my best bets there. Fun league. You know, it's really turning into like four teams that are decent, and then it's, you know, four really, really kind of shitty teams. So that's been an interesting one. And yeah, it's just released Sports Betting 101. If you have any interest in sports betting, things like that, doing an educational series called Sports Betting 101 teaches you the basics on sports betting, because the odds are stacked against us. So you have to understand and master the basics before you have any shot at being a profitable better, sports better long term. So yeah, I just released the, we did a little bit of an underdog tutorial, going to do a DraftKings tutorial there. So a lot of good stuff over there. So check stuff out, but I know what you're here for. You're here to talk football, and we're going to get down to exactly that. So cheers as we kick this off at the nice styrofoam cup today. All right, so we are talking about the NFC South. That is your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your Atlanta Falcons, your New Orleans Saints, and your Carolina Panthers. So let's kick it off with the first guy that I already kind of mentioned. So the way that we're going to do this today is because we have actually a couple guys with the same injury. We don't have a ton of overlapping, but we got more than what we had in the past. So the way it's going to work is I'm going to talk about an injury first. I'm going to kind of break it down what it is, talk about recovery timelines, you know, re-injury rates, things like that. And then I'm going to bring it back to the individual player. Right. Some of them, it's just going to be one-on-one. Some of them is going to have two. So that's why I like to talk about the injury first. The injury type first, and then get into the actual player profile. So we're going to lead it off with talking about Achilles tendon tear there. Fleeting out the first time you've heard this, if you listen to the other episodes, but in case you're just joining in for the first time, we'll go through it. So your Achilles tendon, right? So a tendon is what connects a muscle to a bone. So in this case, your Achilles tendon connects your calf muscle. You have two of them, your gastroc and your soleus, your calf muscle to your calcaneus or your heel. Basically, the tendon that connects your calf muscle to your heel. That is what we're talking about here. So it's a full rupture. Typically, that requires surgery. There's no way, unfortunately, for conservative physical therapy rehab to be able to put you back together again. We call the orthopedic surgeons for that. That's kind of the Humpty Dumpty, put you back together. Couple different procedures you could do there. You know, speed bridge is kind of a la Aaron Rodgers, gained some popularity, you know, with the innovations in science, always trying to come out with things that increase, that speed up the recovery timeline, but don't in the same token put you at risk for a re-injury, because absolutely nothing worse than coming back from an injury and doing all that rehab and then getting back on the field and having the exact same injury or to the other side, because that can happen. You do have an increased injury risk here with an Achilles tear. It's moderate to low, not as high as something like a hamstring strain or even an ACL tear, but it is something that does typically take around 10 to 12 months to recover, because not only do we have to repair that tendon, and I say we just openly, obviously, again, not a surgeon, but they go ahead and repair that tendon, and it takes about 10 to 12 months. And when I take recovery time, I'm talking about time where the guy can actually get back on the field and play football, right? This isn't exactly when the tissue and the tendon is going to be fully healed. It is when it is healed and you have gone through the rehab to apply enough stress to it to get yourself ready to be able to react to an unexpected environment, because that's what football is. You're reacting. You have, you know, 300 pounds fast individuals trying to come take your head off, especially in this case. So again, about 10 to 12 months until we typically see players return. Now, the guy we were specifically talking about here is Mr. Kirk Cousins, the new Atlanta Falcons quarterback, maybe ? Again, with that Penix standing. But yeah, so they brought him in on the offseason. This was a team that, you know, it seemed like they were a quarterback away, right? They've got Kyle Pitts. They've got Drake London. They got, Cordell Patterson, Tyler Algeo, Bijan. They got weapons, right? But it was just like, you know, Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke, those guys weren't the answer. So they brought in Cousins to try to be that guy. Now, he tore his Achilles on the 29th of October, which gives him about 10 and a half months of recovery time. Okay, so wide receivers and running backs typically see the biggest dip in their performance year one post-injury. That's because they rely on that Achilles, again, or those calf muscles to really, that acceleration, deceleration, jumping ability. It's kind of the power that it helps you generate that power in your lower leg is kind of what your calf muscle does. And obviously your Achilles tendon plays a huge role in that. Quarterbacks typically tend to come back a little bit better from this injury. Kirk Cousins isn't someone who's exactly super mobile. So as long as he's able to kind of push off on that foot and be able to throw the ball, he should be fairly good. 10 and a half months is a little bit on the early side, but he's got a decent shot to be able to be ready for the season. Being a quarterback, the quarterback position, I almost kind of would expect him to be. Obviously, we're talking about this in end of April, early May. Things may not change. You just want to kind of monitor progress. There'll be definitely updates by training camp and things like that. You'll be able to kind of get a clearer picture of how this goes. But I would kind of expect Cousins to be able to start the season. I think that's what everyone's hoping for. 10 and a half months gives him a realistic shot to do so. Again, I would like for it to be closer to 11 and a half, but being the quarterback position, I think he does have a fair chance. As far as what it will impact the season, I think it can take him some time to get back in the swing of thing there. You know, those first 4 weeks, I think it might be a little bit rusty, a little bit shaky. I don't think he's going to have a ton of time to kind of throw the ball and go full go before week one. You know, I doubt he's going to get any reps in the preseason, but I mean, he needs to start, you know, he's got to get some type of live reps, right? So whether that's joint practices or something like that, I just don't expect them to throw him out. They're going to be very cautious with him, right? So, you know, he might be able to expect him to be a little bit rusty in those first couple weeks. But again, Kirk Cousins' game is not to run around and be mobile. He's got a great, two really good backs in Bijan Robinson and Tyler Agio behind him. And he's got a lot of weapons to kind of distribute the ball to. So I've got a fairly decent outlook on Kirk Cousins. Now, that whole Michael Penix kind of situation, I'm not really taking a ton of stock into it for this season. Definitely a little bit like questioning, you know, as far as long term, any type of dynasty stuff. But yeah, for this season, I think it's a fairly positive outlook for Kirk Cousins. Again, just because it's not really what he does in the mobile department. I think 10 and a half months, he should be good to go. Expect a little bit of a slower start, but someone who can definitely pick it up and ramp up as the season goes on. All right. Now we are going to talk about an ACL tear. So we Achilles and your ACLs, two kind of biggest injuries that we typically talk about, whereas we're talking about long-term injuries. So your ACL, your anterior cruciate ligament, is your major, one of the major stabilizing ligaments in your knee. As you can see in the picture, it's kind of that front one. It's a little bit hard to see, but it's that complete tear there in the front part of it. So really what it does is it prevents your tibia, which is the bigger lower leg bone, is underneath the knee there, from kind of moving forward on your femur. So that is what the ACL does typically, but when it is torn, obviously not do that. So it requires surgery, 10 to 12 month recovery timeline as well. Now this does come with a little bit higher of an injury risk, coming back from surgery, not only to that leg, but also to the contralateral or opposite side. You know, ACL, you have to, it's tough, right? I mean, Achilles and ACL, you got to relearn how to walk. You have to, you know, start to rebuild and kind of break down old movement patterns. Or essentially what happens is your body finds a path of least resistance, right? So typically when you're recovering from an injury, that isn't the most optimal way to move. It is going to kind of do some compensation patterns. It is going to have some muscle imbalance. So, you know, you get into those habits and those habits become hard to break. So much so where it's research shows that it can take up to 2 years for normal movement to return. So a lot of guys who rely on this movement, a la your wide receivers and your running backs, your skill guys, they see a bit of a bigger dip in their first year post-injury. So not as much of a career killer as it used to be. Technology and rehab has advanced, but it definitely is a significant injury, especially for that season immediately following, right? And that is what we're talking about here for both of these guys coming up. So we're going to talk about first defensive tackle for the Atlanta Falcons, Grady Jarrett. Really a stud on the inside for them. He's kind of been one of the cornerstones of that defense for a couple few years here. Jarrett tore his ACL. He tore his ACL actually on the same day that Kirk Cousins did, October 29th, 2023. So he's also got about 10 and a half months of recovery time. Now, I think he's got a shot, but he needs to rely on his mobility a little bit more as a bigger guy. Sometimes, that injury can be a little bit tougher just because you're talking about trusting that knee again, right? So not only the physical aspect, but the psychological aspect of I need to trust this knee as not only a large individual, but now I have to be stood up and I'm trying to drive through another 300-pound individual. And that's going to put a lot of stress on that leg. So at 10 and a half months, he does also have a chance to be ready, but I'm a little bit less optimistic as far as him coming back and hitting the ground running. There's definitely a chance, a real chance, that he's not ready for the start of the season. Now, I don't think he'll be too far off at 10 and a half months. Typically, what you see is around that 11 and a half month is where most guys on average return to the field. Again, not, you know, where he can be cleared and all that stuff. It's different than being game ready. When I talk about my timelines, I'm talking about when is the guy going to be game ready. So I'd like to make that distinction. But yeah, so with 10 and a half months, you know, I think that he has a shot to come back within those four weeks, but I'm not expecting the same Grady Jarrett within that first half of the season that I think we've been accustomed to seeing. So I think they'll have to have some other guys step up there on that defensive line. You know, I don't think it's going to be a complete wash of a season for Jarrett, but I do think it gets off to a slower start than we're used to there for the Falcons defensive linemen. All right. Another guy in the division, same injury, newcomer, Mr. Jonathan Brooks, former Texas running back, now Carolina Panther. Carolina traded up and went to go grab him. For me, and as you'll hear why, I think it was a bit of a reach, but looking at this Carolina Panthers franchise ever since Cam Newton left, seems like everything they've done has been a reach. It's been just an absolute kind of really shithole. But Jonathan Brooks. All right. So I feel a little bit more strongly on Brooks than really most of the rookies' prospects, but just like I am out on Jonathan Brooks for this season. Now, here's the thing. I think when he was healthy, Jonathan Brooks by far looked like the best running back in the league, in college football. He was electric. He was, you know, powerful. He really kind of did it all for Texas. Now, a couple things. One, ACL tear, November 11th, 2023. So he's only got 10 months until week one. I just talked about running backs and wide receivers see the biggest dip in performance year one post injury. Typically, they're not back till closer to 11 and a half months. And especially a running back, you have to trust your knee and your leg and your mind so much more than any position that even rookies in general seem to, you know, take a little bit of time for the game speed of the NFL to catch up to them. Now you're talking about, like, you know, the last time that he was running it in football, he tore his ACL, right? You have to trust your knee to be able to cut again. Like, there is a huge psychological factor. And there's also the physical aspect of him, you know, likely not getting his full normal movement back until earliest midway through the season. When I say full normal movement, I'm not talking about his ability to run, his ability to cut. I'm talking about, you can see it, the explosiveness, the way a running back moves, like Saquon Barkley. He looked completely different the season before he tore his ACL and when he came back from his ACL. He looked like he was stuck in the mud. And that is what I'm talking about. They can go through the motions, but it's just not all there. It takes time. So you got a rookie running back going to a bad Panthers team who still, I don't know how, what the hell they're going to do on offense. And now you got a guy who's likely not going to be ready for week one, and he's going to need to take time. He's not going to get any of those reps as a rookie, definitely not at full speed. They're not going to throw him out there the first week of preseason. So this is one of the stronger opinions I have going into fantasy and going into the season. I am fully fading Jonathan Brooks. The other thing is he's only really had 10 games of significant playing time. First 2 years, he did not crack over 300 yards in a season. He had less than 300 yards each his freshman and sophomore year. Yes, I understand, you know, Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson were there, but you know, if you're that good of a running back where you're going to be the first running back taken by a whole round ahead of everybody else, like if you're that good, you get playing time is what I'm getting at. And, you know, he was able to do some pretty damn good things in those 10 games, but I mean, he also suffered a major injury, right? We cannot kind of just avoid that fact. So, you know, I think based on the situation and based on the injury, I am pretty much fully out on Jonathan Brooks for the 2024 NFL season. Dynasty, I've heard a good argument is, you know, from a dynasty aspect, he's going to start slow. So, you know, I think there's going to have, I would not be drafting him, but you're absolutely going to have the situation where someone's going to reach for Jonathan Brooks and they're going to be very upset in the first few weeks when their production is not there. And it could be a good opportunity to go ahead and trade for him in a dynasty aspect. Cause I am not saying that I am out on Jonathan Brooks' career. I am saying that I am out on him for the 2024 season, especially that first half of the season. He's got a chance to do something and kind of show a little bit of life and how special he can be in the second half. But, you know, it does create an interesting opportunity for something like Dynasty where, you know, he could, in the 2025 season, you know, really, really be a special back. I just don't think we see it this season. All right, we are moving on to another type of injury. We are talking about a fibula fracture. So fibula is, you have two lower leg bones. You have your fibula and your tibia. Your fibula is the outside bone. It is the skinnier bone, as you see here. It's the tiny guy on the outside. And yeah, a fracture is essentially just a break. So there's a break in the bone there. And typically, it's about a 3 to 4 month recovery time. Now, there's different levels to this as far as if it's just a break of the bone, if there's any, you know, how complicated is the fracture? Is there any arterial or venous, any artery, vein, nerve kind of damage, anything like that? Because those are all possibilities. All depends on kind of where the fracture happens, things like that. But from this situation, it seems like a fairly clean break. And when that happens, really just time. Bones need time to heal, whether it's a stress injury or whether it's a full fracture, bones need time to heal. There's not a whole bunch we can do to speed that process up. The bone needs to be able to heal, and then you slowly introduce stress, you slowly introduce activity to be able to strengthen that bone and build it back up. So about a 3 to 4 month injury or recovery timeline there where they're back to the field. Unfortunately for this player, it happened at absolutely the worst time. So Shaq Thompson, outside linebacker for the Carolina Panthers, is the guy we're talking about here. Happened early on in the season, I believe week 2 or 3, 18th of September, and he fractured his fibula. You know, 3 to 4 months put him out, just out for the season, which really sucks. You know, it's about a 3 to 4 month season. Obviously, the Panthers were absolute dog water last season, so there was no reason to rush him back, no shot at the playoffs. So he had that fracture. He was out for 3 to 4 months. Now, the good thing is he's going to be fully fine for the next season. He's got 11 and a half months of recovery timeline. It's the only silver lining for having a major injury at the beginning of the season is you do have almost a full year to rehab and recover and build yourself back stronger, which is what we always try to do with our athletes. So Shaq Thompson's pretty easy one here. You know, again, at this point, we would have heard if there was any complications or anything crazy like that. So he should be good to go with the 11 and a half months. Expect Shaq Thompson to be back to his old self. There are not huge concerns as far as re-injury risk and things moving forward. It's, you know, as weird as it sounds, like fractures are actually not something I'm super scared off of as long as they have the appropriate time to heal. You know, in the off season, like we talked about some guys like Cooper DeJean and, Kool-Aid McKinstry and Newton there, the defensive tackle for Illinois. They had Jones fractures, but DeJean had a fibular fracture. Things, you know, the fractures are a little bit, especially in the off season, they're not as scary, right? Because once you just get that time to heal, the bone builds back and it's, you know, nothing really crazy concerning moving forward. During the season, yeah, it sucks because there's nothing you can do. You cannot rush it, right? So you really just have to wait that time. So brutal injuries during the season. Off season, when you have the time to recover, not nearly as concerning as something like an ACL, Achilles, you know, a tendon tear, muscle tear, something like that. All right, folks, we are just under halfway through. And you know what that means? We get to tell you about some of the awesome things we are offering here at IDP Plus. So first up, the 2024 IDP Plus Rookie Guide is live and ready to download on the site right now. Right now, it is ready to go for the low, 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 low price of $9.99. In this economy, $9.99. Man, I don't even know if you get a burger and fries for $9.99 anymore. Definitely not. No, $5 footlongs don't exist. So $9.99 nowadays, that's a steal. So our comprehensive, one-of-a-kind 2024 IDP Plus Rookie Guide is here. Get the IDP Plus Draft Guide right now. Again, for that low price of $9.99. You'll get updates every Friday. You can check out the show description and download your copy today. Again, we'll have those links for you in the description as always. You know, it's a really good, they've had a lot of really good individuals work on that piece, especially for draft season, right? So we already just have the NFL draft, but talking about like when you have your drafts, whether it be IDP or just normal fantasy football, this is something that, you know, a lot of research and time went into this. And is multiple individuals. You probably don't have the time to do all that work. So a great way to get a leg up on the competition in your draft leagues, or whether you're looking at it from a betting standpoint or just as a fan to be, you know, I love being able to be knowledgeable about your team and then your rivals and stuff like that. This is a great thing. Again, most books are a lot more expensive than this right now. So this is probably the best book you can read as a football fan. It's only $9.99. And then our partnership with Expedia. Thrilled to tell you about that. The one-stop shop, do it all for everything in the travel vacation world. We are going to go ahead and have a link in the description as well. So it's the way this works is, as an affiliate partner, essentially we get access to special discounts and special, you know, rewards and stuff like that. So as a fan of IDP and a way to give back to you guys, we are going to let you guys in on all of those discounts and deals. So we want to make sure that you, as our fan at IDP Plus, is really getting taken care of. And, you know, is planning a vacation, whether it's you, your wife, your husband, however it is, you know that planning a vacation can be tough, right? Like, thought of going on vacation and going on vacation is awesome, but planning for a vacation kind of sucks. So, you know, if you want to be cost effective, especially again with crazy prices right now, you're on like all these different websites and, you know, flights over here and rental car and hotels. But the nice part about Expedia is that's really that one-stop shop. I know I'm going to get the best deal if I just go onto this website, and to get an even better deal, use that link that we're going to post down in the description. All right. Little halftime there, a little halftime hydration, and we're back. We are back, and we're talking about MCL injuries. So this is something that I talked about a little bit. I'm a decently common injury. So your MCL, your medial collateral ligament in your knee, another major stabilizing ligament of the knee, one of the big four. So it is on the inside part of your knee, the medial part of your knee, right? And it kind of prevents that knee from bending too far inward. So any force to the outside of the knee, it prevents that knee from collapsing inward. But also, if it's too much force, it can be torn. So that is kind of what happened here in this case with this player we're going to talk about in a second. It is, however, as weird as it sounds, if you're going to tear one of the ligaments in your knee, one of those major stabilizing ligaments in your knee, tear your MCL. If you have any say in the injury, ask for your MCL to be hurt, because it does have the most healing potential due to the level of vascularity. Really, a lot of how the body heals is through blood flow. That's why bruising is a thing. So your MCL actually has decent blood supply as opposed to a lot of these other ones that don't, which is what requires surgery typically, is if they're not going to heal on its own. So your MCL does have the best healing potential, but in cases where it's fully torn, like a grade 3, still about 4 to 6 weeks of recovery timeline is what you're looking at. And this guy that we're talking about here, Mr. Michael Thomas. Yes, that. Oh, my bad. Oh, is that not Mike? Oh, I'm sorry. I must have gotten him confused. You're probably aware. I mean, Michael Thomas at this point is synonymous with Charmin Ultrasoft. I mean, the dude took a foot injury and took off two whole freaking seasons for it. So he just finds his way onto the injury report. And unlike most individuals who try to do everything in their power to get off the injury report, he's just collecting his frequent flyer miles at this point. He's a lifetime member on the injury report, and he has been on my top five do not draft list for fantasy football for the last 3 years in a row. And honestly, he's made me look like a genius. Because clearly the dude, you know, he may look good for a couple games, and then he just finds a way to not play. And it happened last season. You know, he November 12th, after dealing with some injury and some off the field stuff, he picked up an injury on the 12th of November, MCL sprain. It looks like it was a full tear, but that was the last we saw of Michael Thomas. And now Michael Thomas is technically a free agent. I should mention that he's not on the New Orleans Saints anymore. However, since he's not on our team, I had to stick him somewhere. So I go ahead and I stuck him here in the NFC South with his former team, New Orleans. Who knows? Maybe he'll sign with one of the other ones, but unlikely. But yeah, no, Michael Thomas. Okay. So for the injury itself, again, I talked about it's a 4 to 6 week injury, kind of worst case with this. So clearly he's got 10 months until the season. So he should be healthy and ready to go. However, Michael Thomas as a whole, I'm not going to change my stance. I do not trust him because not only, yes, anybody can get injured, but he has shown no desire to play through injury or do everything he can to get healthy enough to play through the rest of the season. Now, I know in that, what was it, 2020, 21, or 21 season, he did kind of play through the injury and it was just on and off, and that's what caused all those issues and blah, blah, blah. So maybe from his perspective, he's just like, hey, I want to make sure I get my money and I don't get burned, which if that's the case, hey, man, I'm never going to knock another a man's, you know, wealth or getting his money or doing what he's got to do. But from a fantasy football, you know, football trust aspect, I have zero trust in Michael Thomas, right? Could be a great individual, could be a great dude, awesome. Never going to know that. But from an injury standpoint, Michael Thomas is absolutely someone who I'm going to avoid. Now he's getting older. Like, I don't see, you know, every year, and you hear the argument like, oh, Michael Thomas, wide receiver one, man. He, you know, when he had Drew Brees, Bob, like the fact you're still talking about Drew Brees in the same argument with Michael Thomas, like, come on, man. It's 2024. I don't want to hear it. We're moving on. All right. So from, again, I'll reiterate, from an injury standpoint, Michael Thomas should be healed. But from a trust standpoint, I'm staying away. Want nothing to do with it. All right. Another Saint who's actually on the roster. We're going to talk about what a high ankle sprain is here. So high ankle sprain is, you know, unlike a traditional ankle sprain where we're, you know, playing basketball or whatever you're doing and you roll your ankle and you kind of roll it and the foot drops to the outside and the outside of your ankle hurts, right? That's your low ankle sprains, your lateral ankle ligaments. This a high ankle sprain is more of a legs kind of planted and it gets twisted and there's a couple different ways it can happen, or the foot goes inward, but it's kind of more of a rotational piece there. But it's above your ankle. So again, I talked about you have your tibia and your fibula, two lower leg bones. You have these ligaments. Really, it's this kind of syndesmosis. It looks like a net of connective tissue of ligaments, and it is what connects those two bones. And in the high ankle sprain, that is an injury to those ligaments. So one, it takes more force to happen. So it requires more damage. Therefore, it takes longer to rehab. It's a much more dangerous and significant injury than a low ankle sprain. Even in mild cases, it can take anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks, especially on your skill guys, even your cornerbacks or DBs. It becomes a really gnarly injury. And it looks like Marshawn Lattimore got it pretty good. Now, they never said if it was a grade 3 or grade 2. Based on how much time he missed, I'm going to almost lean towards grade 3, which puts you at 3 to 6 months of recovery timeline. Grade 2 is more to kind of like that 6 to 12 week type deal. But yeah, he got injured himself in November 12th, actually the same day Michael Thomas did, and he was put on the IR and never made it back. So he's got 10 months of recovery time. So let's pull up Marshawn Lattimore. Sorry, I don't know if I introduced it. Yep. Cornerback, stud cornerback, Marshawn Lattimore. Unfortunately picked up that high ankle sprain last season, and that was the last we saw of him, was it November 12th. You know, this is one I can understand. High ankle sprains are tough. They're tough to rehab. They're really tough to come back from. They carry every injury risk, and it just makes cutting and that stability in the ankle a real pain. So definitely one that during the season, high ankle sprains are, you know, there's a few injuries, you know, high ankle sprains, fractures, hamstring strains that I just do not want my fantasy players having during the season. You know, obviously, yeah, high ankle sprains, one of those. So as far as next season, Marshawn Lattimore with the 10 months of recovery time, he should be good to go. You know, that does give you enough time to be able to kind of fully reload and get back for next season. Once it is fully healed, there's not a ton of re-injury risk there. So Lattimore should be good to go for next season. Now he's kind of been dealing with some injuries on and off these past few years. So we hope that the fortunes change for Marshawn Lattimore there. But going into this season, he should start on a fairly healthy, clean slate. All right, moving on. We're going to talk about patella tendon tears. So this is something I've talked about in the past, and your patella tendon is a tendon that connects essentially it's your quadricep muscles, but it goes from your patella, your kneecap, to the tibia. Now, I did say that tendons connect muscle to bone. So it's really an extension from your quadriceps muscle. So you kind of have your quad tendon and then it morphs into your patella tendon. It's really kind of the same piece. It's just your patella is kind of in the middle there. Anyway, so it is a full tear in this case that requires surgery. So it's about 8 to 10 months recovery time for these injuries. So a little bit less than an ACL Achilles, still a significant injury. Obviously 8 to 10 months is a long time, but thankfully for the individual we're going to be talking about, who is Bucks wide receiver, Russell Gage. He injured himself August 16th, 2023, just before the season there, about a month before the season. So he's got over a year to rehab, 12 and a half months. It was not on this injury. There was no picture here. This is another injury where he got absolutely lit up by Donovan Wilson of the Cowboys. Did Russell Gage, but so he's did not play a snap last season, unfortunately. He will be back. He should be back and ready to go with that whole year. He's going to have plenty of time to rehab. So from that standpoint, he should be good to go. As far as, you know, fantasy value, I don't think many people are rushing to the window to get any kind of Russell Gage shares. You still got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and, you know, Kate Otten, and you had some couple guys like Palmer, and you know, a couple other speedy receivers there for Tampa Bay. So I don't know how many people are rushing to the window to get after Russell Gage, but he should be healthy as far as going into next season with that patellar tail. Pretty gnarly injury, so, you know, he might take some time to kind of get back into the swing of things. But as far as from a health standpoint, 12 and a half months is enough time, really plenty of time to be fully back from that patellar tendon tear. All right. We're going to talk about two last injuries as we wrap up here. And these are a little bit interesting. So really it's going to be two guys that are offensive linemen, older offensive linemen, whose careers are potentially going to be altered and done due to, it's less one injury and more successive injuries and the kind of the damage it's caused. So we'll kind of just get into, well, we'll talk about the first guy first and then we'll do it like this. So first guy is Ryan Jensen, center Ryan Jensen for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, big ginger there. Man, he was a nasty player in the best way possible. Cause if, as an offensive line, if I'm a fan, I want my offensive lineman to be nasty. If I'm a coach, you know, I need them to have a little bit of that nastiness, a little bit of that put your in the dirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, so Ryan Jensen was that dude. He was a guy for Brady in that Super Bowl, man. I really like the way he played. So in 2022, unfortunately, before the season, he tore his ACL, his MCL, and his PCL. Three out of the four major stabilizing ligaments in your knee. It was a gnarly, gnarly injury. Obviously missed the entire – well, he didn't miss the entire season. He actually came back for the playoffs, which is pretty incredible. But he missed the entire regular season there. He was able to come back for the playoffs against Dallas. Unfortunately, they did lose that game to the Cowgirls. Oh. Is that I know the season's back? Because I just say the cow – like, I can't even say the Dallas Cowboys without just getting this – the immediate nausea and just nastiness over my body because fuck Dallas. But yeah, anyway, back to Ryan Jensen. So he injured his ACL, PCL, MCL full tears. He really had major surgeries, probably successive to more than one surgery. The ACL, the ligaments actually healed or intact, but as he was ramping up for the 2023 season, he just, his knee didn't feel right. And there was really just some cartilage issues. And he was talking about that lateral compartment. So you have, okay. So in your knee, you have these ligaments, you have your meniscus, which is kind of those horseshoe shaped looking blue things there. And you also have, you know, cartilage that essentially helps to make sure it's not bone on bone, right? It gives you some cushion between your bones. And as we get older, cartilage can naturally kind of decrease. And as we lose some of the viscosity and some of the water capabilities. So it dries out essentially, and a bunch of nerdy stuff you don't really care about. But essentially, some of it's natural. But when you have multiple procedures to your knee, sometimes that cartilage can cause issues and damage. And so it has to be removed. And the thing with cartilage is once you remove it, you can't get it back. So it turns out like it becomes a pretty risky thing where you want to remove it so you can play, but it's like long-term health-wise, this is not the move. And it's kind of what caught up to Ryan Jensen there. So he really wasn't able to start the season. He got put on IR. He was trying to make it back, was never able to play a snap for this whole 2023 season. So he just officially announced that he actually retired. So Ryan Jensen has hung it up for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they will not have their anchor there in the middle of their offensive line at center. And they really didn't, you know, they didn't have him last season, even though they were planning on it. So this is just kind of for moving forward that, you know, because I think he's a significant enough player that he makes a difference to that team and he can make a difference to those skill players, that Ryan Jensen is no longer in the picture for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they will have to figure it out without Big Ginger there. And then another guy who's not quite there yet, but may have a very similar fate, and that is Saints right tackle Ryan Ramczyk. He has also dealing with some knee cartilage issues. Now, his was less of one big injury. He's missed time in both 2021 and 2023 as far as due to this kind of knee injuries flaring up. So, again, you have that lack of cartilage in there. It's almost like that lack of protection, that lack of absorption for these forces. So it's a lot on your knees and your joint. It's not meant – your joint is meant to have that cartilage and that buffer. And now as a bigger individual, you are asking your body to do these things, and it really just – you know, it can be tough on the body as far as a whole season. And it kind of wore on and Ramczyk. And he had a minor procedure during the offseason in hopes of being able to repair some of these issues and try to, you know, again, there's not a ton you can do. You can't really like put cartilage back in there. There's, you know, some different procedures about potentially doing some, like, you know, whether it's PRK or platelet regeneration type deals, but there's nothing really been it's really kind of hit or miss with those. I can't really guarantee anything there. So it sounds like he had a minor procedure in hopes of doing something to prepare that knee for the season. And as of March, things are not going super well. Head coach Dennis Allen kind of said that he's not exactly where he, Ramczyk, or the coach Allen thought he should be. So there's some serious concerns. Now, they did, you know, there's a lot of time for the season, so he could figure something out here, but this is pretty concerning for Ryan Ramczyk, because someone who's still like being counted on by this New Orleans Saints. You know, their offensive line is significantly worse with him out of the lineup. So I think they really need to be planning for a future without Ryan Ramczyk. And again, he's not officially retired yet. He's, you know, still trying to work his way back, but this isn't something that necessarily goes away, right? It's not going away. So even if he starts the season, this is right there looming at every step. So some real concern here for the right tackle for the Saints in Ryan Ramczyk, because it's just an injury that it's not like you can just heal that cartilage back. That's just not how it works, unfortunately. So Ryan Ramczyk, even if he does play this season, I'm not expecting a ton. And, you know, it's definitely a situation where he could play the first couple weeks and then it just doesn't feel right and he's done. So, all right, folks, that's all of them. What do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 injuries. We just talked about 9 major injuries for the NFC South. You know, we talked about guys like Kirk Cousins, Grady Jarrett, Jonathan Brooks, Shaq Thompson, Michael Thomas, Marshawn Lattimore, Russell Gage, Ryan Jensen, and Ryan Ramczyk. Look, IDP Plus, we don't discriminate. If you're a significant football player, you make an impact to your team, I'm going to talk about you. I don't care if offense, defense, O-line, D-line, special teams, I'm still warming up to. You know, you got to really be someone special to be able to get on this, you know, just with how much they change kickers and stuff like that. But NFC South, it's going to be an interesting division. You know, you got – the Bucs won last year. I don't really even know who the front runner is. I'd probably say the Bucs. Everyone's going to say the Falcons, you know, with what they got in the weapons there. But I still would probably lean Bucs there just because they've got a lot more guys who are proven. And I kind of like what they did in the draft there. I think they're reloaded on defense. So we'll see. It should be a fun division. Hopefully, for everybody's eyes sakes and for the people of Carolina, the Panthers can put something together. But again, I don't love the Jonathan Brooks pick. You know, will Bryce Young be able to have any help. They've got Deontay Johnson over there now. Dave Canales is now the coach. Hopefully he comes and injects some life into that offense. Defense just took a lot of injuries. They weren't really terrible last year, so we'll see. And then New Orleans, I just think they're capped with Derek Carr. Let's see. They're an older team. They're kind of, I think on the wrong side of the hill there. So interesting division, really up in the air, right? Definitely one that doesn't, I don't think, have a clear front runner. So injuries can absolutely change the landscape there. So definitely want to keep an eye on those things. So NFC South done. Five of the eight divisions are done. So we're putting this out about once a week there. So, Monday, Tuesday, expect the next episode to drop. We'll see which one I want to do as far as what division. I am saving the NFC East, the NFC Beast. Obviously, my favorite division as a completely biased individual. I'm saving that for last to really delve into that and get me kind of pumped and ready for the season. So as always, folks, if you learned something, if you enjoyed this, like, subscribe, IDP Plus. We're doing a lot of things. We're coming at football from all different angles. And if you got any questions about guys I talked about guys that maybe I didn't mention, someone you want to see, make sure is definitely on a future episode, let me know. Give me feedback. Love all your guys' feedback. Again, just a nerd who loves football, talks football, wants to talk football all the time. So if you're interested in football going on right now, I'm always putting out a talking UFL, putting out a UFL best bets, and I go game by game and do a game breakdown, talk about injuries, of course. And, something like the UFL, you really got to pay attention to the league to understand what injuries really matter and because their depth charts are really dynamic. It's not as structured as the NFL as far as their injury reports, things like that. So you got to do a little more digging. So I do that work for you there, and I give out best bets. Again, went 2-0 on my best bets last week, so riding a little bit of a heater, looking to take that into week 6. If you're new into sports betting, interested in getting into sports betting, I highly, highly, highly encourage you to check out the Sports Betting 101 series for your benefit. Because look, whenever there's always going to be growing pains when you start something new, but growing pains with sports betting means losing money. You work too damn hard for your money to lose it on dumb shit. You got to give yourself a shot by learning the basics, Sports Betting 101. These sports books are not your friend. They can promise you all this free money. They can have all these cool ads. They can have all these celebrities try to shove it down your throat. All they're trying to do is take your money. They do not want to see you win. So they're not going to set you up for success. They're going to tell you to bet, same game parlays. And, if you feel so good, there's a lock or risk-free. Bullshit. There's nothing risk-free. There's nothing to lock. There's so much to learn. And, it really doesn't take too long. But you really should do your due diligence, because at the end of the day, it's your hard-earned money. You want to make sure that not only are you not losing it, but we're winning it. And we're going ahead and taking Vegas and the sports books for all the worth, because they're the enemy, folks. So it's us against them. So let's help each other out and let's win some money. But that is it for the NFL offseason injury update, episode 5 for the NFC North. As always, folks, stay safe out there. Keep loving football. And for now, the doc is out. I will see y'all next week.